Great Scott!
Are you a sports fan who loves to have a good laugh?
Oh, yeah!
Then you're in the right place.
I'm going to make him an offer again.
Life moves pretty fast.
The Patriots win the
Welcome
Super Bowl!
Welcome to the Man Cave Chronicles.
Welcome to another bonus episode for Fantasy Football. Today I have Andy Singleton from Fantrax. Andy, how you doing?
I am good, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being on here.
So tell the little sports fans a little bit about yourself.
So I am from New York City, born and raised. I've been in Brooklyn for a long time now, over 30 years. I'm in my early 40s. I've been a New York City firefighter for the last 16 and got into this crazy fantasy sports industry about 5 years ago, and I've gone through all kinds of twists and turns, and in the last year and a half started doing videos because I thought there was kind of a open space for fantasy sports videos. So I linked up with Fantrax, fantrax.com, which is a league hosting site, and they have been around for about 12 years now. They host 9 different sports that you can play, including season-long college fantasy football and college fantasy basketball, in addition to all the other major sports and NASCAR and golf and things like that. But now they decided to get into offering their own content. So there's a blog, there's Fantrax Radio with a bunch of podcasts, and the Fantrax YouTube channel, which is where you can find my work.
And you've been doing this for how many years, you said, now?
This is my 5th year. I'm not sure if I'm on the end of 5 or beginning of 5, but somewhere around 5.
So you pretty much have a busy schedule between being a firefighter and this.
It's crazy. I don't envy my own schedule.
Yeah. So you must not sleep at all.
I sleep, but not well, not comfortably, and not I'm not a Monday through Friday. I'm in bed by 10 o'clock and I'm up at 7 or 8. I have a very varied life.
Yeah. All right, so how should we prepare for this year's draft?
Well, this year is starting to look more and more like last year, where everybody was on the zero running back theory and going all wide receiver heavy to start things off. This year was looking to me to be more of a time to go back to drafting a running back with, one of your first 2 picks. But as injuries come out, as some surprise names in some backfield start to emerge, it becomes a little cloudy. And, the wide receivers seem to be, or at least the stud wide receivers, are looking more and more like the safe pick. Quarterbacks is definitely something you should wait on, and not to sound like too obvious, but I get questions like, should I draft 2 kickers or 2 defenses? That's one thing. Absolutely not. Never, never, ever, 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 ever have 2 kickers or 2 defenses ever rostered or drafted. Let's just avoid that. That's wasted space.
Yeah. And all right, so we'll go through a few positions and throw out a couple names, and if you have any input on those and sleepers, stuff like that.
Sure.
So I guess we'll start with running backs, because everybody, that's what everybody's talking about. Obviously, David Johnson would be the number one guy in overall fantasy draft, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. You could go neck and neck there. I think they're in the top tier. And then I think that's where you draw the line. The guys going after that, LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman. Ezekiel Elliott would have been in that top tier, but obviously with the suspension. It's much, much cloudier. I thought maybe he could appeal it down to 4 games, but that's looking less likely to be the case. He's really dropped on my personal board. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell right at the top. And then that's where you get kind of into that range of, I want one of these guys, but I think I might rather have a wide receiver like Mike Evans or A.J. Green or Jordy Nelson over one of these guys.
Yeah. How do you feel about like somebody like Todd Gurley? You think he's going to come back like a little bit better than last year?
I have totally changed my tune on Todd Gurley in the last week since these preseason games started. You know, depending on who you watch, who you read, who you follow, you know, you'll get all kinds of different ideas and beliefs on preseason games and how much they should mean to you. I look at a guy like Jared Goff, who, when he was in college, never was under center. 99% of his snaps were from shotgun or, you know, spread formation, and he was never under center. So for him to adjust to that in his rookie season with a weak supporting cast around him, you know, by and large, for the most part, it was, you know, really that was Gurley's downfall to me, was just the teams being able to just stack the box against him. When I watch Goff in the preseason now, he has made dramatic improvement to his game. The way he is taking snaps, the way he's selling the run, the way he's dropping back, I just like his poise, and he looks much more comfortable to me, which trickles down to Gurley, and Gurley's looked better. He's also one of the few guys, you can lock up Gurley for 250-plus carries right now, and there's only 10 or so running backs that can make that claim. So Gurley's a guy, yes, I'm definitely higher on this week than I was at any other time this year. So I'm moving up Gurley in a lot of places.
How about the running back from Miami, Jay?
Yeah, Jay Ajayi is a good friend of mine, Scott Fish. Maybe some people know the name. Has been bantering for Jay Ajayi since he came out of Boise State. And I like what he did last year. I like what a lot of people smarter than me that study running backs will tell you about Ajayi. The one thing that you have to be concerned about with him is his running style. You'll hear the word violent. You'll hear the word, you know, hard runner, which is very true. He is a bruiser. He doesn't avoid contact. He's not one of these quick, you know, squirmy guys. He's looking to run people over. And he just had a multiple-week concussion in preseason that he's back from now, but, you know, put him out for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was more an element of, hey, it's preseason, let's not rush this, let's take our time, or if it was more severe than, you know, a casual concussion, if we can label it as one. But Ajayi is definitely somebody I like. If all systems go, if he's healthy, yes. And I like the Cutler addition, which makes that offense, you know, while maybe more turnover prone, much more aggressive than it was under Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. And, you know, in most drafts, you know, everybody's going running back the first probably two rounds, except you might have a wide receiver here and there. So if you're coming back and you're, you know, say you're in the second round, how does somebody like Dalvin Cook from Minnesota stand out?
Yeah, Dalvin Cook is really also another guy, you know, leapfrogging. Leonard Fournette is my favorite rookie running back. This is a talented and loaded class with Christian McCaffrey, yep. Fournette, Cook, Joe Mixon. But Cook, you know, let's not forget, he was probably arguably the number one running back going back to his days at Florida State, and then you go through the whole draft process, and he, you know, slips down a little, and there's, you know, you put five guys into the blender, mix it up, and, you know, Cook came out probably at the bottom of those five. Now all of a sudden he finds himself in a good situation. Minnesota's line isn't great, exactly, but the offense is improving. He doesn't really have any competition on the depth chart. Latavius Murray is his biggest obstacle. He's not going to start the season 100% healthy. Even when he does come back, he's looking to be more kind of the short yardage guy. It looks to be Dalvin Cook's backfield to own right now. So I like the upside and the opportunity. And, you know, you get a healthy Diggs. You got Adam Thielen. If Laquon Treadwell gives you anything, Kyle Rudolph is still there. Sam Bradford another year looking comfortable. So I think that Minnesota offense is better than what people want to give it credit to be, and Cook is running away with the running back duties there.
Yeah. I have in my big league, I have there's 12 teams, and I'm number 11 that I got drawn out for. So I've written down actually McCaffrey and Cook, where if they're hanging around third or fourth round, I might grab them.
Yeah, I think that's a great spot. I would take both of them, to be honest. If I had to put one above the other, it would probably be Cook over McCaffrey, yeah. But not, it depends. If it's a PPR league, you know, maybe
PPR league, yeah.
Yeah, McCaffrey might be the guy, but you know, everybody's just assuming he's going to get a bunch of receptions. We've never seen Cam Newton really be that kind of quarterback. So until we see it once,
I'm
holding out. I'm reserving a little judgment, but you know, McCaffrey's obviously going to be a much better play in PPR leagues.
All right. So next with the wide receivers, who are some of your favorites? Obviously, everybody's going to go after Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, the first two top guys.
Yeah, we start going down the list a little. Terrell Pryor is the guy I love. I like Sammy Watkins more than I thought I would. Martavis Bryant, just looking down a list, reading some names for you. Stephon Diggs, of course. Willie Snead. Devontae Parker is a guy that's rising on a lot of ATP lists that is in for a huge year. And I love, like I said, Cutler taking over.
Exactly. I've been reading that too. A lot about Cutler going there might help a couple of those wide receivers get more catches in the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Some veterans that, you know, are sneaky good that people kind of forget about. You got Kenny Britt in Cleveland now taking over what Terrell Pryor was able to do last year. Obviously, the quarterback situation is probably going to be different, but Kenny Britt put up, you know, 1,000-yard receiving season last year in L.A. He's got the size. He's got the pedigree. He's had health issues in his past, but if he's healthy, he's a big receiver that can do some damage. He's going late. He's going like 43rd wide receiver off the board right now. You got Mike Wallace in Baltimore. As bad as the Ravens offense may or may not be, Mike Wallace has been one of the most consistent wide receivers throughout his career in the real world and in fantasy. So that's another guy you can take at the back end, kind of like your wide receiver 4 or 5 to give you some depth and we'll play some weeks. Rookies, Zay Jones, I've been all over him since before the draft. Another guy I really like, and I like his situation. Cooper Kupp, you know, just trickling off of the Jared Goff improvement I was talking about. But those are some of the names I'd be paying attention to. Cole Beasley is another one that doesn't seem to get enough respect or credit, but really should.
The Man Cave Chronicles on Twitter at the MCC Podcast. We'll be right back.
RotoWear.com.
RotoWear.
Big shout out to the RotoWear company.
It's so goddamn comfortable.
Can't recommend them enough, man. Yeah. High quality t-shirts.
Shout out to RotoWear.com.
You see me rocking the shirts on the videos and stuff like that.
Where'd you get that?
RotoWear.
That is courtesy of RotoWear.
It's just the highest quality of shirt.
Yeah, I really like the baseball designs you got here.
The shirt is beautiful.
Everybody who I've talked to who has the shirt basically says they can't believe how good the quality is.
Yeah, Ken, I've seen you. You've been getting a lot of love. You said you've been only running for a little over a month.
CBS guys are tweeting out shirts. I'm seeing fantasy personalities everywhere digging this guy's shirt.
I love the Run DFS shirt.
It comes with baseball cards with all the different shirts on it.
RotoWear on Twitter. Check out RotoWear.com.
Oh my God. Is this shirt making love to me right now? Like, what's going on? I love this shirt.
Hey guys, Brian Padone here, founder of Quiet Punch. When I'm not listening to the Man Cave Chronicles, you can catch me filming one of my live workouts on QuietPunch.com. Check it out today. That's quietpunch.com.
This is Adam Nutter.
And this is Greg Trout.
And we're Nerds with Words, and you are listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Yeah. How about somebody like Michael Thomas from New Orleans with Drew Brees throwing at him?
Yeah, he's an absolute stud. I did a video with Ryan Berger, the FF Ghost, and he has him as a top five receiver this year, maybe even as high as third. And I don't see many reasons to argue with that. I do think, you know, Drew Brees spreads the ball around, but even if he could duplicate last year, that puts him as a top 10 receiver. So, you know, you got a safe floor and a ceiling that's through the roof.
Yeah. I've been reading, you know, I've been doing research when I have time at night, and a lot of people are saying stay away from Patriots wide receivers till like late rounds. How do you feel about that?
I can understand where that comes from. I think the one safe guy to take from there would be Brandon Cooks, but I don't like where you have to take him. He's going right around the end of the second round, beginning in the third round. It's kind of a high pick for me to want to reach out to him there. They're just loaded. It's the same deal with their backfield. They have great options, and Belichick is not afraid to use everybody on his roster. So it's more about the value that you're, you know, giving to get these guys on your roster than if they'll be productive or not. Mm-hmm. Patriots guys play better in best ball formats where you don't have to worry about guessing the week to start them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what it is. You know, like, you know, I'm a Patriots fan, and I would love to get a couple of these guys on my team, but, you know, you can have Cook where 1 week, you know, he'll give you 100 yards and two touchdowns, and the week after he's got 10 yards receiving.
Exactly, exactly. So that's why, you know, you want to load up your best ball roster with Patriots, go for it. I'm all with that strategy because the Patriots will put up a lot of points this year, especially in the AFC East.
Yeah. All right, now what are your thoughts about tight ends this year?
Another tricky position to talk about because, you know, you got guys that when they go up to the top rounds, like the first or second, like, you know, what Gronk has been able to do, they don't produce. Then when they fall a little, that's when they produce, you know, first and second round value again. It's the health more than anything with these guys, right? Yeah. So Greg Olsen to me is probably the safest, but is he the guy you want? Probably not. You want Gronk, you want Kelsey, you even want Jordan Reed. I think Jimmy Graham is probably the guy I would target as my first, but even that's a little high to be going for on him. Tyler Eifert's slipping down. I like Eric Ebron, even though the injury kind of scares me. I'm not liking how he's starting the season. The guy I've been pretty much targeting everywhere, and this goes against everything you'll ever read anywhere, which is rookie tight ends are not something you want to desire. But Evan Engram in New York in the Giants system is a guy I'm finding on more of my rosters than I ever, you know, thought I would. And the argument is exactly kind of what the argument against him has been, is that he's not a tight end. He's a wide receiver. Okay, great. So you got a wide receiver then that's lining up as a tight end and going against linebackers who aren't going to be able to cover him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could easily see him putting up 4-plus receptions on average a game, which would give you 60-plus receptions on the season. I will take that any day of the week. I don't know that the touchdowns will be there, but I think the receptions and the yardage are. And that goes against, like I said, all things you'll hear about rookie tight ends. Another one that's kind of down at the, you know, mid level for tight ends is Jack Doyle with the Colts.
Yeah.
I like him to be a steady source of production week to week. And a second-year guy that not a lot of people are talking about, Austin Hooper in Atlanta, I think fills a huge hole that they have been missing since Tony Gonzalez. I like him to step up and be a potential double-digit touchdown guy this year. Yeah.
A lot of people are talking about also Zach Ertz and Delanie Walker.
Yeah, I like those guys, but, you know, the Titans' offense has so much going for it right now with everything they've added at wide receiver. It's still a run-first offense, and, you know, Walker is a year older. Not to say he's old, not to say he's not going to be productive. I just don't want to gamble where I have to take him. If he falls to me, would not want to have Delanie Walker on my roster. And the same thing, and Ertz is going even higher by about 10 picks than Delanie Walker is. So it's more about where you got to take them than if I want them or not.
And a couple of years ago, Gronk was a first-round pick.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, he might – I can see him going, like, fifth or sixth round.
No, he's not going to last that long.
You don't think so?
No, you're looking end of second, early third with Gronk this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, especially if he comes back 100% and healthy.
You're drafting the name at that point. You're drafting him as, you know, the one weapon in the Patriots offense that if he's on the field is a difference maker, that you know he's going to get his looks, his targets.
Yeah.
You know he's going to get his receptions. So the health is obviously a huge factor, but you got to pay a premium for guys like that.
Yeah.
And he could lap guys at the tight end position with how productive he can be, not just with receptions or yardage, but, you know, the touchdowns as well.
All right. How about quarterbacks next?
Quarterbacks. Well, let's see. I think quarterback is the position you have to wait on. I don't think you should be drafting a quarterback high. The difference between QB 5 and 15 is microscopic. It's literally, we're talking about maybe one completion on the season over the course of 16 games. That's how small the window or difference could be.
Yeah.
So, you know, to be the first guy to go QB and go for Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or even Drew Brees, you're missing out on some value that could help you in other positions, most notably running back and wide receiver around those draft slots.
Yeah.
I got a guy like Derek Carr, top five QB for me. And right now, according to Fantrax ADP, he's the 9th quarterback off the board. He's going around pick 109, which to me is phenomenal value. Right next to him is Kirk Cousins, who's the 8th quarterback. I'd rather have those guys because the difference between them and Rodgers or Brady is going to be so small, it's not going to matter. But the other positions I can grab in lieu of drafting Rodgers or Brady is gonna help my team a lot.
Yeah. Have a question for the Man Cave Chronicles? Tweet them now at the MCC Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Rhett from the Brain Trust Brothers Network, here to talk about what we have to offer you. If you like listening to interesting people talk about themselves, then check out the Brain Trust Brothers podcast. Every Tuesday, I sit down with someone that I find interesting and talk to them about who they are and what they do. If catching up on the news surrounding Hollywood is your thing, then check out the Peanut Gallery every Saturday. With interviews from people in the industry to us nerding out about upcoming film, you are sure to get a healthy dose of all things pop culture. If you would like to learn more about us, then check out BrainTrustBros.com or follow us on Twitter at BrainTrustBros. We hope that you enjoy and stay tuned for what's to come from the Brain Trust Brothers Network.
I did a couple mock drafts, and for, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers was going in the first round with some people.
Yeah, it's a popular spot for Rodgers to go. I think that's way too high. I think even, you know, the second round is too high. I just had in the Flex League draft going against guys from, you know, like CBS Sports and ESPN and Yahoo writers and analysts. I took up Rodgers, I believe it was the third round, because I just was like, wow, okay, this feels like at least it's somewhat safe value. It might have even been the fourth round where I just said I couldn't let this guy pass anymore. You know, you start talking about that area, then okay, you want to be the first guy to take a QB. Okay, I'm good with it. Third round, fourth round, fifth round, sure. But, you know, that would be the only quarterback. It's, if you're taking quarterback that early, it's got to be Rodgers or Brady.
Yeah.
That's one of the two. That's it.
Yeah, my strategy this year was going to be, since I have the 11th pick out of 12 teams, that I was going to go running back, wide receiver, running back, and then a quarterback.
Yeah, I would still wait longer on quarterback than that sounded like, what, the fifth round or fifth pick you had him going?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say you'd still wait. You look at a guy like Cam Newton, who I think is in for a bounce back year. He's the 13th quarterback off the board. 118th overall pick. You know, Dak Prescott is starting to slip because of the Ezekiel Elliott news. You can get a guy like Prescott, even Andy Dalton, who's been a good fantasy quarterback. Tyrod Taylor, Sammy Watkins gets traded, and everybody thinks Tyrod Taylor is going to stink. He's not. He's going to still be a good fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
So these are guys you can get late. Like, I'm talking like 10th round and later.
Even Andrew Luck.
Well, you know, it scares me, though. He's going a little higher. He's still in that top 10 range at the QB position. But I'm worried about Andrew Luck. I think the management in Indy is being a little, you know, a positive, put a little positive spin on it. I wouldn't be surprised to not see him start the season.
Yeah. And how do you feel for somebody like Big Ben or Eli Manning?
You know, I got them kind of in the same range. You know, they have great weapons. They're going to be solid, but it's not going to be I think Manning puts up more yardage than Roethlisberger. They're going to be somewhere in the same touchdown range, about 30.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think what we think their numbers should be are not going to be what they actually are. So I'm not racing out to get them.
Yeah.
I like their weapons better than I like the quarterbacks themselves.
Yeah. Now, out of the quarterbacks, do you see like a sleeper quarterback? Are you one of those guys that drafts two quarterbacks that have a backup, or do you do your bench is full of wide receivers and running backs?
No, I'll typically have a backup quarterback just because I want to have some insurance. God forbid there's an injury or something like that. You know, nobody expected like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Not that he was a high-end fantasy quarterback, but nobody expected a guy like Teddy Bridgewater to, you know, have what happened to him happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, just have some safety, and then you don't have to spend a waiver claim right out the gate. You take a guy like Luck, you absolutely better have a backup plan because, as I said, he might not start the season. You know, we were talking about guys like Dak Prescott. I think he's going to be fine. But say there is a huge regression because Elliott's out. Well, all of a sudden, what do you do now if he's your only quarterback? So, I think two quarterbacks is good. I don't think you need three. I think two is fine. So, yes, I'm a two QB guy. Yeah.
Do you see a sleeper quarterback like lasting in the late rounds that somebody might just leave on the board?
I mean, some of the names I was just mentioning, Tyrod Taylor starting to slip, Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz, I think he needs to stop sailing his throws, but he's got all the potential to be a top-end guy. And you look at a guy like Sam Bradford even. Sam Bradford's slipping. Jay Cutler's there. We were talking about him with Devontae Parker. Yeah. So, yeah, there are a bunch of guys later on in the draft that you can get. You know, whoever wins that Broncos battle is, you know, got 2,000-yard receivers to throw to. So, you know, he's going to have some value. It's maybe not going to be elite high-end. But, as I said, the difference between QB 5 and 15 is so minimal that you're really rolling the dice at that point.
Yeah. All right, and how do you, like, do you play in leagues that have defenses and kickers?
I'm in all sorts of leagues. I have IDP leagues that, you know, we're starting, you know, defensive linemen, two defensive ends, four linebackers, you know, safeties and corners. So, yes, anything from individual to team defense.
Yeah, and obviously those are late round picks. How do you feel about some of those teams? Who do you think's got who's a top three in defense?
Yeah, the defenses to me are so tough to judge, especially before the season starts. I think Tampa Bay has a lot of nice pieces as a unit, as a whole. That's a defense I would like to have. You know, they're of course going to get the Hard Knocks bump being featured on HBO, but you know, you look at the Week 1 matchups. You know, just trying to handicap those. Some of these games, I think Cleveland, I think the Browns are, everybody still looks at them as a joke and a laughing stock. And, you know, you got Greg Williams as the coordinator. Hugh Jackson's a great head coach. And they are loaded with youth and excitement. And they move. They have speed on defense. I think, you know, that is a very underrated and slept on defense. So, you know, what we think of defenses now is going to drastically change after, you know, 2-3 weeks, the first quarter of the season.
And the last is pretty much kickers. What are your thoughts on that? Who's like good? Obviously, everybody's going to think it's going to be Tucker or Gostkowski, top two kickers in the league.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the only thing I can say with any assurance is don't draft a Tampa Bay Bucs kicker. You know, we've seen what happened with those. Don't draft Aguayo in Chicago now that he landed there. These are the guys I could tell you not to draft.
Yeah.
I think kicker is so speculative. It's honestly, it's a position I don't really think belongs in fantasy because, you know, it really has nothing to do with, obviously his performance is personal, but his opportunities have nothing to do with him. So your week, your win or loss could depend on a kicker coming out and kicking a field goal, an extra point, and you lose your week by one. And to me, I don't know. It's just they're too influential without having much to offer the fantasy game. Real world, absolutely. I like kickers. They're important. They're an important aspect. They're an important feature of the game and how we strategize and how we know it. But in fantasy, I think they have too much power and there's too little to predict.
Is there anything else you want to tell the listeners before we end
this? Check me out on Twitter. I'm on there a lot. I try to put out a lot of tweets and stay relative and answer all questions. So if you have any questions or thoughts and you just want to, you know, talk fantasy sports, football, and baseball, follow me on Twitter at People's Pen, Peoples with the Z. Of course, check out Fantrax.com. If you want to import your league and bring it over, I'd be happy to help you get set up with a discount. Just let me know. Follow the video. Subscribe to the channel. Just search for Fantrax on YouTube, FANTRAX, and subscribe while you're there. Check out all the videos I'm doing. I'm going through the fantasy football industry with a lot of experts and analysts and having them come down and break some players down individually. Do a lot of college draft stuff, NFL draft stuff. So a lot of good stuff. And, of course, I do a fantasy baseball show as well. So nice. Come check it all out.
I'll have to have you back for baseball.
Yeah, I'll be happy to come back.
Do you have an Instagram account or anything also?
I do not. There's just so much that you wish you could do that you can't. So I try to limit some of my surroundings.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty good with Twitter. I see you answer a lot of questions to fans out there.
Yeah, that would probably be my one go-to. You know, I post on Facebook, I post on Reddit, and I get, you know, kind of blasted there by those guys because they, you know, say I don't spend enough time there. I just post my material and run, which is basically kind of true. They're kind of right, but I don't do it to, you know, I don't do it to be malicious or anything. I do it because I'm trying to share the work I'm putting so much time into, and I just don't have enough time to comment and answer everywhere. So Twitter's the one place I can safely say, you ask me a question on Twitter, 99% of the time, I'll get to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you having me. Yeah. Hope I didn't disappoint.
Oh, no. It was awesome. This was great information. I'm sure whoever listens to the podcast that likes fantasy football, they'll like this episode.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Man Cave Chronicles. Follow them on Twitter @ the MCC Podcast. We'll catch you next time.